It will drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's bleating for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. It'll shake a man's timbers when he loses his heart, when he has to remember what broke him apart. This yoke may be easy, but this burden is not, when the crying fields are frozen by the silence of God. And when you've got to listen to the voices of the mob, who are reeling in the throes of all the happiness they've got, when they tell you all their troubles have been nailed up to that cross, then what about the times when even followers get lost? Because we all get lost sometimes. Have you ever felt lost before? Have you ever felt guilty because you're a Christian and Christians aren't supposed to feel lost before? Some people might feel that way, and that's actually a normal emotion for anyone, Christian or not, to sometimes feel lost a little bit. The ancient followers of God, the people who were before we started calling people Christians because the Christ wasn't on the scene, but still followers of God nonetheless, they would often write about how they felt like God wasn't paying attention to them. And one of the greatest blessings is, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. But quite often you see in the Psalms this phrase of, will you hide your face forever? The blessing is, may God shine his face upon you. And they're quite often asking, where's your face? Because it's not shining on me. It's what often comes up in the Psalms. They would cry out, how long? Have you ever wanted to cry out how long before? Like, how long until I actually feel like this thing of that's supposed to be called God's blessing, when will it be in my life? If that's true, if you have ever felt that way, then the Psalms of Disorientation will hopefully help you some. Sadly, we gloss over and we forget large portions of the Scriptures quite often, but the Bible is filled with moments of suffering, of anguish, of pain, of torment, of trial, of loss. The Bible is filled with moments like these, and the Bible often talks about these. And in fact, there's large portions of this. Now, the caveat is that Jesus tells us not to worry about the future, right? Jesus tells us not to worry because God can take care of the animals and the flowers and things like that. And if he can take care of those things, then of course he's going to take care of you. And that is true. But there's a difference between worrying about the future and hurting now because you're in the present. Right? Sometimes it just hurts in the present. It doesn't necessarily mean you're worrying about the future. It just means it hurts. And Jesus didn't say you don't have to pretend, or he didn't tell you to pretend that nothing's wrong. He didn't say that. Paul, the apostle, in the book of Philippians tells us, do not be anxious about anything. But the very next line is, but in prayers and petition, present your requests to God. And so he's not saying there's never going to be anything that makes you anxious, but what he says is, when those things come, pray to God about them. And that's what a lot of the Psalms do. And that's what actually a lot of the Scriptures do quite often, but we ignore a lot of those things. For example, there's an entire book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. Do you know what a lament is? A lament is giving expression of sorrow or grief. And so there's an entire book in the Old Testament called Lamentations, which means the entire thing is the people of God saying, this is not fun right now. That's the entire book, is just laments. That's why it's called Lamentations. There are also quite a few laments in the book of Psalms. We're not in Lamentations, we're in the Psalms today, but about a third of the book of Psalms are laments. About a third of the Psalms are laments. And so these are these prayers that give voice and expression to sorrow and grief and ask God things like, how long are you going to hide your face from me? Would you feel sacrilegious praying something like that to God? Would you feel like maybe a little blasphemous if you ever prayed? If you think you aren't allowed to pray that to God, then you can't pray like a third of the Psalms. But the Psalms are God's words, right? They're God's words given to us to give back to God. They are prayers written for us to use. And so if we use these Psalms, we're going to be praying things like, God, it really hurts right now, God. Show up. You ever wanted to pray something like that to God? The Psalms teach us that that's okay. Like, it's okay to do that. It actually requires a lot more faith to pray something like that to God than someone praying for God's blessings who already feels very blessed. You ever thought about that? It's one thing to believe a certain set of beliefs about God, how he'll take care of you, and he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And it's a whole different thing to believe that exact same set of beliefs about God when life just stinks. It actually takes quite a bit of faith to pray those same things and think those same things about God when life hurts, right? That makes sense? That to believe that God's going to take care of you when life's happy, it's not as hard to believe that he's going to take care of you. It's a little bit harder to believe that. And so it shows more faith when you're still willing to pray to God when life hurts. And throughout the Bible, we are given permission to pray honestly to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And occasionally you have unhappy thoughts, right? And if you occasionally have unhappy thoughts, but you're never supposed to stop praying, then occasionally your prayers should be unhappy thoughts, right? Or else you're not being honest with God. And God already knows what you're thinking. I mean, he does, and so it makes sense to pray the unhappy things to God sometimes. And so pray to God about that. The key thing I'm gonna try to get across today is that all because it seems like God's not listening does not mean you should stop talking to him. That's an extremely important thing, and it's what we see in the book of Psalms, these laments, these prayers that cry out, God, are you even listening to me right now? When God's not listening, that's probably when it feels like God's not listening, that's probably the times you should pray to him more. And in the Psalms, all because it feels like God is not hearing you, does not mean you should stop talking to him. And the Psalms teach us this thing. Also know this, that all because you voice some concern to God or maybe unhappy with God and maybe have a prayer about hurting, that doesn't mean you're less of a believer. It just means you're more honest and you're actually dealing with a God of the real world. Because, I mean, like, we're not here this morning because it's all pretend, right? Like, we're here because it's real. And that's why I'm up here. It'd be a really depressing job if I was up here and didn't think this was real. But it's real, and God is a God of real life. And real life sometimes hurts, right? And God cares when things sometimes hurt. And so with that said, let's talk about these Psalms of Disorientation. Psalms of Disorientation are the prayers usually from the book of Psalms, but really kind of a Psalm of Disorientation. It doesn't have to be out of the book of Psalms. Of when you're talking to God when life has just gone south. When life's hurting, when something is causing pain or upsetness. The stress and disorientation, when you just feel disoriented, that can come usually in about three different categories. One of the categories is you change, like you move. The stress of moving, they tell us, actually weighs on your body physically for about 6 months. Maybe a child moves out of the house. That's stressful, right? Maybe it's like, yeah, but it's still going to be stressful in some way. Maybe you change a job. That's stressful. Even if you're getting a pay raise, that's still stressful, right? When things change, when you change things, maybe when you realize you're not a kid anymore, when you realize, hey, I'm in a new place of life right now, and things change, that can cause some disorientation. I mean, it's meant you were used to this way, and now you're this way. There's another way that disorientation can come, and that's from unexpected conflict or tragedy. And this is the one that's easy to come up with, like natural disasters, like flooding, or like basement flooding, or, you know, your air conditioner bill, your air conditioner breaks, and the clothes fall down, and you throw out your back, and all those different things. That's not fun, right? Is it fun? No. That sort of thing. Maybe a disease, or maybe the inability to do something you've been hoping for. Maybe something gets in your way of that. Maybe the downturn of the economy. It's just something that just disorients you, and just it's not fun to be in that place. There's also the disorientation that comes from the culture changing around us. Your communion meditation touched on the culture change. Like suddenly the culture decided, like, I don't know when it happened, but like a switch is flipped, and suddenly everyone is telling us that sex and gender are two different things. When did that happen? I didn't know that happened, but apparently everyone is telling you it means two different things now. And that can cause some stress, right? When you wake up one day and the culture is totally different than what you are used to, that causes some stress. That can cause some anxiety, maybe. These things can upset us. And so the Psalms of Disorientation come up because when things upset you, that's when you should be talking to God. So you should be addressing them to God, because there's this rush of negative emotions that occurs when we're upset by something, right? Negative emotions happen, whether or not it's anger, or it's fear, or it's sadness, or it's grief, or depression. What do you do with those negative emotions when they come? Because they're going to come. That's life. If you don't have negative emotions, you're lying. And you've got this other negative emotion of lying to yourself. But you've got negative emotions. What do you do with them? And hopefully, and the Psalms teach us that what you do with them is you bring them to God. And you tell him about your negative emotions. Too often, we just want to keep on singing those Psalms of orientation we talked about last week, when you're saying, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Yeah, can I get an amen? That's what we want to stay in, right? We always want to stay in that spot. But that's not reality. It's reality that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but you're not always feeling like saying that out loud. You're not always feeling like you want to say that everything is all good and hunky-dory. When someone asks you, how are you doing, we usually want to respond with, oh, I'm fine, or things are good. But if you were honest, sometimes there's a person who, in first service, whenever I ask him how he's doing, he either says, not bad for an old, fat, and ugly man, or something like that. The other thing he says is, how much time do you have? That's a little more honest of an approach sometimes. When someone asks, how are you doing? It's, oh, how much time you want to spend listening to me? That's more of the honest approach quite often. Sometimes we're in seasons of life when things are just stressful. And if we're going to be honest in our prayers, we're not going to be in the Psalms of orientation when things are oriented and we feel happy where we are. We're going to be in disorientation and things are chaos. Things hurt. And so the Bible is not always in a place of orientation. The Bible is sometimes in this disorientation spot. And so we talk to God about it when things hurt. Even when it seems like God's listening, even when it seems like he's not going to do anything about it, we still talk to him, because even when it seems like he's not listening, that doesn't mean he's not listening. So you keep on talking to God. And so sometimes we wonder, how do I voice these negative emotions properly? Because I'm going to feel pretty sinful if I'm telling God how much I hate this world he made. But so how do you voice those negative emotions? Well, the Psalms give us ways to do that. If it's God's words, it can't be too bad, right? And so you pray these Psalms to God and tell him about it. In fact, actually, praying the laments encourages us to acknowledge the pain and suffering in the world, which often sometimes helps reorient our lives a little bit more to be more concerned about caring for the world. When you start to pay attention, hey, the world's not hunky-dory and actually hurts sometimes, opens your eyes a little bit to, hey, the world's not hunky-dory and really could use some Jesus, right? So it sometimes helps us to think missionally when we open our eyes to these hardship psalms. One recommendation is cliches sometimes. One thing that goes on when we're hurting, sometimes cliches. Do the cliches help or hurt sometimes? Like, you know, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. That's biblical, right? But is that what you want to hear when you just got punched in the throat? Like, no. Maybe emotionally punched in the face. I don't know. That's not what you want to hear during those times. That's going to happen in the end game, but right now it doesn't feel that way. And so we go to the Psalms. All that said, let's look at a couple of these Psalms. Psalm 88 is one of the ones I want to go to. This Psalm is sort of an exception to most of the other Psalms' lament in a way that I'm going to explain later. But it's still very good for proving the point that it's okay to pray these things to God. Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol, the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon, which is another place of the dead? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I'm helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. They've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me, and my companions have become darkness. That's the end of the psalm. It's essentially praying, God, life's miserable, amen. Has that ever been all you could get out in a prayer before? Maybe you didn't pray that prayer because you would have felt terrible praying it, but maybe at that point in your life, that's all you really would have been able to get out of had you tried talking to God. And that's okay. It's okay to tell God, it hurts, amen. And that's what we see in this psalm right here. The whole psalm can be summarized like this. God of my salvation, I need some of that. Listen to me, I'm troubled, I'm in a pit, I'm nearly dead, I'm like a dead man, and I feel like those people that you've turned against. You're overwhelming me with suffering, my friends hate me, you're not listening to me, I'm surrounded. Can I even declare your love if I'm dead? I don't think so. I pray to you daily and you're hidden. My spouse even hates me, and it's like my friends are just shadows. The end. That's that kind of a prayer. That's one of these psalms of disorientation. They're in the Bible, and it's okay to pray them. It's okay to pray to God these prayers. Because when you're having those emotions, it really feels like God's not around, does it? That's why it's really important to pray these prayers. Because even if that's all you can get out in a prayer, the important thing is you're still talking to him and still telling him how you feel. Now, you don't need to raise hands, but have you ever wanted to pray a prayer like that? That just this stinks, amen. We might have wanted to before. And you don't need to feel guilty about it, because otherwise you're saying you're not allowed to pray what's written in the Bible. Like, we're allowed to pray Scripture, right? Like, that's supposed to be an okay thing. And so we're allowed to pray these things. In fact, I actually think you need to voice it. In recovery programs, they teach that healing doesn't really start. You can't really start recovering until you voice the problem, right? What if maybe in recovery from our own hurts and our pains and our hang-ups, we don't actually start recovering from them until we've voiced them and said, I really do hurt right now. Life's not just fun. I really need to quit pretending. I'm in pain. Maybe we need to do something like that. And so make sure you admit the truth of your hurt to God. Number one, he knows what you're already thinking. He knows how much it already hurts better than you do. Number two, he's big enough to handle it. God's the biggest, and he loves you the most, and so he knows you're hurting, and so he really wouldn't mind you telling him how it feels. God kind of likes honesty. And here's another psalm in Psalm 13. It has a couple of the pieces that's found in most of the psalms' laments that I want to point out. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That psalm has that same grief and sorrow that a lot of us face sometimes. If you're not facing it exactly right now, you've probably experienced it in the past. You're probably going to experience it again in the future. It feels like God's face is hidden. He's not answering. It really seems like he's forgotten. And how long must I sit in this pain and just bear with it myself? How long am I the only one who understands what's going on in my life right now? How long do my enemies get to just gloat over me? Answer me. And then the psalm has this shift where it actually starts, it's a little more honest with God. In some ways it says, lest or unless, many psalms have this, and they say things like, you know, if I'm dead, I'm not going to get to praise you. If I'm dead, bad guys are going to think that you're not around. does that feel like you're not supposed to pray that sort of thing to God? But that's okay. It happens in the Psalms. It's all right. It's just being more honest with God. But then the really important thing that you find in almost all of the Psalms lament, except for a few of them, which are the most depressing ones, like Psalm 88, except for a few of them, the psalmist then says, but. That's an extremely important three-letter word. And its life is terrible right now, but I've trusted in your love. And he doesn't say all his problems are gone. He says, but I'm going to keep on talking to you anyway. He says in that psalm, in particular in Psalm 13, it says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Shall is future tense. Same thing as will. I will rejoice in your salvation. He's not saying he's saved yet. Not meaning saved like from heaven or hell, sort of saved, but saved from his enemies, saved from the problems he's having, saved from just a miserable experience on life sometimes. And he's saying, I'm not saved from that stuff yet, but when that happens, I'll praise you. And it's saying, I'm still going to be talking to you because I know there's more here. And so that turn is very important. We may currently be in pain. We may currently be hurting. Our enemies may currently be winning. We may currently have a hole of something that seems like it's missing. We even sometimes are reminding God of his own promises to us from Scripture. But at the end of the day, we still remember that God is going to take care of us. He's worth still talking to. Even if he seems far away, we praise him anyway, because we realize that even if his promises aren't fully manifested in our lives yet, even if it hurts right now, we know that all we have that's good comes from God anyway. And so the fact that we can experience hurt means that we know what it's supposed to be like, and so we keep talking to God. And that's the thing we have to remember when talking to God, is to just keep talking to him. He doesn't mind if we don't pull our punches. He doesn't want us to forget what he does and continues to do, though. And he knows we live in a broken world with broken bodies and a broken society, and things break all the time. And these psalms give words to how we feel. So it's okay to pray these things. You don't even have to pray the psalms. It's just an issue of being honest. The psalms, really, what they're doing is they're teaching us that it's okay to talk to God that way. And they give you a starting place. If you can't find the words to pray to him, it's totally okay to pray the psalms. The thing is, give voice to the hurt. Give voice to the hurt so you stop hiding it. Because when things are hidden, that's not a good thing, right? Hidden things are not good. God is a God of light. He lets things shine. Speaking of shadows and darkness, growing up in my house, I've got two older brothers and a younger sister. And so I shared a room with at least one of my brothers for a short time, I think. If I remember right, I was really young. I shared a room with two brothers. But until I was a teenager, I had to share a room with a brother. When we were teenagers, my parents, my dad finally built a room in the basement, which was great, so then I could start having my own room. But until that time, I was sharing a room. But when I was really little, though, I had my big brother in the room with me, and we had this coat tree. Which is like a standing coat rack thing. It had a bunch of coats on it, and it was right outside our closet door in the corner of the bedroom. And I was really little then. Looking back on it now as an adult, I'm like, wow, little me, that makes no sense. But little me was deathly afraid of this giant shadow in the corner of the room, because like it had arms from the coats, and it was like super big. And the closet door is what we kind of use as a nightlight. It would be open a little bit, but the closet door nightlight just made it worse. Because all it did is it made there be a giant silhouette of this coat tree with this giant thing standing in the corner. When the lights were on, I could see it's a coat. But when the lights were off, it was this scary monster in the corner of my room. And sometimes I would be scared and I'd tell my brother that I can't sleep because that thing's in the corner of the room again. And my brother, my big brother, would sometimes make fun of me, yes. But other times he would like open the closet door more and you could see it's just coats. Or he'd turn on the light and he'd be like, it's okay, there's no monster. I think I remember one time him telling me if there really was a monster, mom and dad would come in the room and stop it. I'm like, okay. But my big brother would help me through that. When I voiced there was the problem. But if I didn't, I'd just sit there awake all night long sometimes, not being able to rest and not being able to sleep. And so the difference is you got to voice the problem. We've got problems in our lives a whole lot more serious than just a shadow, like a coat, right? We've got real problems, not just shadows in the corner, not just things that scare little kids, but things that scare grown-ups. We've got problems like that. But the issue, the more important thing is we've got a God who's a whole lot bigger than a big brother, a whole lot more powerful. Just voice the issue, and he might turn on the light and show you it's just a coat closet. He might not, though, sometimes. The important thing is that you voice the issue. Because sometimes what's interesting about God is he's actually being silent on purpose, I think. I mean, have you ever been just opening up yourself to someone and you're telling them all the problems that you've got and you're kind of telling them what's going on and they start talking to you and you just want to tell them, shut up? Has that ever happened? Or like you're telling someone your problems, they start explaining why it's okay, and you just want to punch them in the face. God knows that sort of feeling. And I think sometimes when he's silent, it's on purpose because he really could explain to you why everything's all right. He could explain to you why things are going to work out together for the good. He could explain to you that he's got stuff under control, but he's being quiet right now because all that would make you want to do is punch him in the face. And so sometimes he's quiet and just crying alongside of you because he knows it hurts. It's weird to think of tears as something that God does, but Jesus cried, didn't he? And Jesus is God. So God sometimes is quiet, I think, because he knows that's just what needs to happen. And he's just sitting there next to you quietly, and you're saying, God, how long are you going to hide your face from me? And it's maybe because he's crying. He's sad for you. And he's not gonna stop it because that wouldn't fix the pain at that time. That wouldn't be for the good. And he's just sitting there happy that you're talking to him. Because that's sometimes the best thing that could happen is just you talking to God about the hurt. Psalm 55 is the last psalm I'll talk about this morning. But remember, it's a whole lot of psalms are like this. Psalm 55 begins with, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it begins with, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, would fly away and be at rest. If you ever wanted to say, oh, if I had wings, I could fly out of here. Now, that's an emotion in the scriptures of these psalms. So if I could just fly, I'd get out of this. But then the psalm ends with, the second to last verse of it, I think, is, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Life stinks a lot. It ends with, cast your burden on the Lord. Have you ever stopped to wonder, how do I cast my burdens on the Lord? How do I do that? Because there's songs about that. We talk about throwing your burdens on the Lord. How do you do it? You actually tell him about the burdens. That's how you cast them on the Lord, is you actually tell him, this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. Please take care of it, God. This isn't fun. I would love this problem to go away. That's how you cast the burdens on the Lord. And he doesn't say he's going to fix them all. He'll fix them all in the end when there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And they'll all get fixed for sure then, but you're at least casting your burdens on the Lord. You just tell him what they are. Not hiding them. Just tell him what the problems are. He wants to fix them. And in fact, he wants to have you as a part of the family. That's what I'll talk about next, is if you're not a part of God's family, he wants to adopt you as a son. And there are some bad examples of dads, but what good dads ever don't want to hear what your problems are and just want to hear from you? He wants to hear from you and hear what it's like. He may not step in and fix them all, but just cast your burdens on him. And he will not let you be moved. And that doesn't mean he's not going to let you shake a little bit. He's not going to let you get hurt, but he's not going to let you get completely moved out of his family. So if you'd like to talk about becoming a part of his family, then come forward as we sing in just a minute and talk to me, and we can talk about how God wants to adopt you as a son. If you'd like to talk maybe just becoming a member of this local church family, not maybe you're already part of God's big family, but locally, and then you can do that too. If you just want to pray about something, you can come forward and talk to me about that. There's also this nice room with two couches. It's directly through that wall, then through another wall, right there. There's a fireplace in there. It's cozy. And if maybe this sermon, I hope it is for some of you, at least maybe this is telling you, hey, there's this problem. I'd love to talk to God about it. You can go in there and sit down in the cozy spot and pray and give voice to the concerns that you're supposed to cast on God. and throw them on him and be like, this hurts, I'm not happy, amen. And maybe that's all the prayer you can get out. But you can do that. You can go to that room and pray there. Because it'd be great. If there's something that you just need to throw on his shoulders, do it before you leave here. And so that's a nice spot for it, I hope. With that said, let's pray. Father, we are a broken people, and you are a perfect God. I thank you that you are not just a perfect God, but you're a God who's a recreator, a remaker, and a fixer, and a healer. So God, I look forward to the sequel to the sermon of next week when we talk about how you do step in and heal, and you re-line up what was bent, and then you take care of things. But God, many of us, and many of us have been and will be in this season of life when maybe we're in years of a season of life when the enemies are just around us, real enemies or spiritual enemies or enemies of the flesh. God, we hurt and we cry, and you know this. Too often we think of tears as something that's just for us, but God, you want to step in and take care of them. And so let us remember that sometimes when we hurt, you feel the same and are hurting alongside of us. Let us find comfort in you and bring you our wounds. Let us throw our anxieties and our cares upon you, because you are the only thing in this world big enough to handle all of our concerns and cares. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen.